Hebrews chapter 11. My goal is to look at verses 1 through 3. And I've entitled today's message in the form of a question. What is faith? What is faith? Faith is something we talk about probably on a daily basis nearly. But what is faith? What does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to grow in the faith? You know, I make this mistake a lot. I know you do too. Often we as Christians expect lost people to think and to live the way we think and live. Thank you, Si, for that reminder. God bless you. Your children shall arise and call you blessed. Preacher, that passage was talking about a lady. Well, it applies to Si's children too. But we know better than that. But I've got lost friends, you do too, and I get in a conversation with them sometimes, and I get to thinking, why don't you see it? Why don't you get it? You know, they take one beating after another in the world in which they live, and they never flee to Christ. And I just, you know, I know y'all never feel that way. And we plead and we plead and we plead with them. They know the gospel backward, but our pleading seems to be of no avail. Church, if one factors God out of their life and tries to wing it, life with all its inevitable hardships and sufferings becomes hard to bear. Yet as we born again children of God, we have hope in the Lord. We have something that they don't have. We have faith, God-given faith, that will ultimately see us through. And the degree of hope we have in the Lord is proportionate to the degree of our faith. A shallow faith gives birth to a shallow hope. A deep faith gives birth to a deep hope. It's the same way with joy. A shallow faith results in a shallow joy. A deep faith results in a deep joy. Well, this is the point of the writer of this letter as he's attempting to hammer home these struggling, persecuted, suffering Christians in this first century church, probably located in the very city of Rome. And we do know that Nero is about to unleash the most savage persecution that the church in Rome ever knew. On the one hand, they were facing the abject rejection of their families for leaving Judaism, the Judaism in which they had been reared and the Judaism in which they had known all their life, and they had become Christians, so their families had rejected them. On the other hand, they're facing the iron fist of Nero. Money was scarce. Times were tough. Death was looming. These were times which required a strong faith and a strong hope to even survive in the church of God. This is why in chapter 10, verse 38, the writer had quoted Habakkuk 2, verse 4, "But the just shall live by faith." We saw that last Sunday. Don't forget that faith produces hope, and hope produces perseverance, continuance in the faith. The writer realizes here that without faith, the people would inevitably shrink back. And during their time of unrelenting persecution, a living, vibrant, growing faith was absolutely necessary. Church, in our nation today, this same call is needed, not to lost people. It's needed to the American church, I believe, more than ever. If we're to survive the pressures of this world, the wiles of Satan, and the weakness of our own flesh, we must seek to develop this God-given faith. In verses 1 through 3, we'll be exploring faith's character, faith's activity, and faith's understanding. And I'm going to be spending more time on verse 1 than I do verses 2 and 3 put together. So when I'm through with verse 1, don't think, oh my goodness, we're going to be here for 2.5 hours today. And you know, as we get into God's Word, that should become less and less a factor altogether anyway. But notice first, in chapter 11, verse 1, we see faith's character. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I had to use one word this morning to describe faith, that one word would be certainty. Faith is certainty. Now, if you were gracious enough to give me two words, I could clarify it even more. The two words would be utter certainty. Utter certainty. Steadfast assurance. Faith is utter certainty about what God has promised in His Word. Well, faith isn't optimism. It isn't positive thinking. It isn't lifting yourself up by your bootstraps. And it certainly isn't faith in faith. Faith is a solid conviction which rests on God's Word that makes the future present in the invisible seen. Faith is at the core, utter certainty. In a world where even many professing evangelicals look at God and His Word and they think, well, there's no way God could have made the world and all that's in it in 6 days. When even so-called Christian counselors are just as enamored with Freud and Jung as they are with the Word of God, when the typical Christian looks at truths such as church discipline and they instantly begin to think, oh, that would never work in our day. When Christian couples read of God's plan for the home in passages such as Ephesians 6 and think, oh, that was then and this is now. Even the church has forgotten what faith is. We as Southern Baptists say we believe it. Our statement of faith says we believe it. But in our actual practice, we too often don't believe it. Because if we truly believe it, we will practice it. It will be evidenced in the way we approach the world and then the way in which we approach life. Laurel Creek Baptist Church, I've said this many times before, but if this book isn't true, if this book isn't the Word of God, we may as well go home, put a for sale sign out in the yard of this new building, and fiddle while Rome burns with the rest of the world. But thank God that's not where we're at. The members here do believe God has perfectly revealed Himself and His will in His book. So let us join our hands together and not let trivial, silly, goofy, worldly issues, when viewed in light of eternity, ever stop us from going forward in God's will. May God give us more and more of this Word-driven, Holy Spirit-led, Christ-centered, God-glorifying faith. I need it. You need it. May we truly believe and foster a faith in God and His glorious Word that can remove mountains. In the last 9 years, at least to hear y'all talk, God has led us through a project that only Glenn and I doubted. I did. I was dealing with that some Wednesday night. However, God has used it to strengthen my faith like few things that I've ever been through before. But now, we've got to guard against at least two things, and you've heard me say one of these quite often, and that's the attitude of, look at what us have done. Folks, we didn't do it. God did it. Secondly, probably going to get fewer amens on this one, but we've got to guard against, and I'm talking your pastor, I'm talking you, I'm talking every member of this church, we've got to guard against this attitude of becoming more territorial than an African lion over our space. I can just hear it when Vacation Bible School rolls around. I hear some form of this every year, and I am going to be exaggerating here, but it's to make a point. Well, preacher shouldn't exaggerate. Okay. Preacher, so-and-so used my classroom the other night.
And now I can't find my roll of scotch tape. And I gave $2.75 for that roll of scotch tape last week at the dollar store. May we never get to the point where we think we're the one who owns the classroom or the building, the parking lot, the fellowship hall, the sanctuary, or anything else. My friend, God owns this building. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the very earth that we stand on. He owns the home that we live in. And may we never forget that this is a place of ministry and not a museum. As we go forward in Christ, may God grow every single itty-bitty one of us in faith. A faith that can shake this entire Van Buren County, White County, and Warren County area. I'm not criticizing any other church, but 98% of the churches I know of today, whether they be Baptist, whether they be Church of Christ, whether they be Methodist, whether they be Presbyterians, they are not growing. To be in a growing church is rare today. I know of others. Had a pastor talking to me just 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, Roy, we'll have 275 people on Sunday morning. Come back that night, come back on Wednesday night. He said, we don't even have an adult class on Wednesday night anymore. But he said, come back on Sunday night. We're blessed to have 25. Why? We don't have enough time. Preacher, I'm busy. Tell that to Jesus. 33 years he was on this earth. He walked everywhere he went. And then talk to me about time. Not having enough time. Remember my great granny. She got electricity when I was 6 or 7 years old. She was born the same year Maddie Dotson was. I could always remember when Maddie was born because they were the same generation. I remember her up until I was 6, 7 years old. She put on biscuits. It was in a wood cook stove. Now a lot of you remember that. I never heard her complain about time. She raised 8 children. And every single Sunday morning, her husband never attended. But her and those 8 children would be in the Cartwright Church of God on time. Brother Roy, you just don't know what I have to deal with getting a family. Could you imagine 8 children? From the age of 17 all the way down to 0. But they got to church. They were there. Why? Because they looked forward to the worship of the living God. Faith. They knew of degree of faith that we talk about, but we seldom, seldom, seldom have. True faith looks beyond the petty, silly issues. Faith looks beyond the personality quirks of brothers and sisters in Christ. Are there things I would change about Rodney King? Yeah. Are there things Rodney King would change about me? Amen. But I love Rodney King. And I know Rodney King loves me. And when you love somebody, you're able to look over a whole lot of things. Some of you wives are really giving it this. Faith doesn't quit. It isn't here 1 week and gone the next month. Faith doesn't quit. Faith looks to Christ. All the time in our pastor's meetings, I have different ones. Well, we think you ought to try this program. We think you ought to try this plan. We think you ought to try, especially DOMs. We think you ought to try this latest program that the Southern Baptist Convention has developed. Folks, I've got the owner's manual. I don't need those programs. Now, activity's fine. Thank God for it. But the ultimate thing the church is designed to do is to sing the praises of the living God and preach and teach His Word. And when we forget that, we've forgotten what church is. Doris, I'm sorry, I'm spitting and slobbering this morning. If you have a few pellets hit you, I'm sorry. Liz, you better look out too. Faith looks at the future as though the future were right now. And church, the future is glorious. And may we always remember that as we live through the right now. Let me now go back to these two elements of faith we see in verse 1. First, we see faith's future certainty. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. You could also use there the word assurance. The substance or the assurance of things hoped for. Now, as I've said 10,517 times behind this pulpit before, don't forget how the Bible uses the word hope. The Bible doesn't use the word hope the way we use the word hope. I hope sweetheart has a meal cooked after service today. I hope I get a raise next year. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope I get a new job, whatever the case may be. We use hope to mean I sure do wish fill in the blank would turn out the way I desire. The Bible does not use hope in that way. The Bible uses the word hope to indicate certainty. Utter certainty. In the Bible, hope indicates a faithful expectation of what God has promised in His Word will actually take place. That's what hope is. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. Faith grabs hold of what the Bible has promised as something that has already taken place. Amen. And this solid certainty almost always involves the future. I've always discovered that our problem as believers isn't the extended future. I believe everybody here believes the Lord's coming back again. We're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to ascend to this earth as He establishes His kingdom, and we're going to live forever with the Lord. Yes, there's going to be a rebellion at the end of that 1,000 years, but we're still going to forever be with the Lord. I don't know of anybody here who doesn't believe that. We have no trouble with the extended future. Our problem is with the troublesome present. Amen? That's what I struggle with. COVID. It's the bubonic plague. Honey, before we leave for church, make sure the children have on their mask. And before we get them into the van, let's wrap them in saran wrap. Better yet, let's just stay home from church today. And honey, if we stay home from church today, that's going to give us time to go to Walmart and get the groceries. And we won't have to worry about that tomorrow. In 1999, it was Y2K. You know, they always said every computer in America is going to shut down. And I scratched my head and said, well, what's so bad about that? Oh, no. As the calendar moves from December the 31st, 1999, to January the 1st, 2000, everything is going to shut down. All the computers are going to quit. We've got to buy up enough canned goods to at least last us through this apocalypse. Oh my, folks, such attitudes are the exact opposite of biblical faith. I think of the old Southern gospel song that you never hear anymore. Many things about tomorrow I may not understand, but I know who holds tomorrow and I know who holds my hand. Church, if COVID were indeed the bubonic plague, if Y2K had indeed shut down the world as we know it, our faith in God, His Word, and His future would still be as sure as ever. What are the things we should hope for? Very quickly, the Christian should hope for Christ's return. Titus 2 verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Secondly, we should hope, we should look for the resurrection of the body. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again according to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter later says in verse 13 of chapter 1, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. That means think biblically and be prepared. He says, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is His second coming. A third thing a Christian should hope for is our glorification. Now we hope for everybody else's glorification. Rodney, I'm picking on you this morning. Well, I certainly do hope for the day when Rodney is glorified, because I've had about all I could stand. Folks, the Bible tells us, the Bible commands us, we should hope for our glorification. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He has revealed, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I can't wait for that. Church, faith celebrates now as though it were then. It has such certainty in then that it celebrates it now. So my prayer is that we get our eyes off our navels and celebrate these things. Just think of the staying power that comes to a life that's lived where all of the above are present realities. This is how Polycarp, Latimer, Ridley, John Hus were able to sing praises to God while the flames were lapping around their body and the grease was dripping from their stomachs. Faith, sure certainty, future certainty. Then we see in verse 1 also, faith, visual certainty. Faith is the evidence or conviction, notice here, of things not seen. There are two very good translations of the original language that actually augment each other. The evidence by which a thing is proved brings conviction. It brings certainty to our minds. Genesis 28:12 records how the miserable night in which Jacob fled from Esau and found comfort laying his exhausted head on a rock to sleep, the Bible says he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on earth. Actually, a better word there is staircase. Gigantic staircase that reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. In a flash, when he was at the lowest ebb in his life, he saw what had actually been around him every single day that he lived. Angelic commerce between heaven and earth. Verses 16 and 17 of Genesis 28 go on to record, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place.'" What Jacob hadn't realized, the Lord is in every place. The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? How marvelous is this place." He was shaking in his shoes. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. Jacob saw what he had been unable to see before, and that enabled him to see by faith. Child of God, what appears to be isn't all there is. I don't know about you, when I'm watching the evening news, that's quite encouraging. What appears to be isn't all there is. There is an extremely active spiritual order all around us. Folks, I'm as sure of that as I am that the Appalachian mountain chain is located directly over there. I know it. Brother Roy, how do you have that kind of assurance? Because of the Word of God. Why do you have assurance in God's Word? Because it's God's Word. Child of God, what appears to be isn't all there is. If we could see the ladder of angels that Jacob did, it would change our lives. But I do see them every day through eyes of faith. You've ever heard of the Singing Echoes? I saw recently, they're from Cleveland. Independent Baptist. I love to hear them sing. For years, Lela Epperson, the granny of that crew, wrote just about every song they sang. And this is from the mid-70s. I just love it. I love it. "I didn't see him when he walked up on the waters. I didn't see him when he made the blind to see. I didn't hear him when he preached up on the mountain. I didn't see. I didn't hear, still I believe. I wasn't there when they crucified my Savior, or when he triumphed over death and rose again. I wasn't there when he ascended into heaven. I didn't see, I didn't hear, still I believe. Why? Because it is the Word of God that tells us. Church, this is the reality we must consider if we're serious about following Christ. It is possible by faith to live in future certitude, to be present at Christ's return, to be present at our resurrection and glorification, to be present in heaven, to walk the streets of gold, to reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. It is possible by faith to live with this visual certitude as well, to see the traffic between heaven and earth on that staircase, to know that the Holy Spirit lives at the very center of our heart, to see the nail-scarred hands of Jesus open to receive us, and to see the glory that awaits all believers. We do see that. And we see it by faith. This is what verse 1 is calling us to do. Just as Abraham by faith put his stock in the future heavenly country, and just as Moses saw him who was invisible. If we do this, just think of how this would change our attitudes in the workplace, how it would change our attitudes with our families, how it would change our attitudes in this church, how it would change our attitudes toward those who rub us raw. Faith's character. Then we see in verse 2, faith's activity. True faith produces activity. Before I read verse 2, remember that we still need about half a dozen more people to sign up for nursery duty. May that kind of faith put you into action. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You see, this utter certainty will produce dynamic activity. Think of the ones that came to my mind were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had nothing but God's word to rely upon. They had no visible evidence that they would be delivered in this life. But they knew they would ultimately be delivered. Now, some of you may differ with me on this, and that's perfectly okay. I believe when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing the fiery furnace, they honestly could have cared less if they were roasted like an Oscar Mayer winner in a 4th of July barbecue. I don't believe they cared. They might have even hoped for that. But their faith was beyond the here and now. Who can forget their faithful reply to King Nebuchadnezzar? Now, remember King Nebuchadnezzar, that's like talking to Joe Biden. That would be like talking to Vladimir Putin. Anyway. But he's the most powerful man in the world. The most powerful man in the world. Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. What did they tell him when he said, I'm going to cast you into the fiery furnace? O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, is that a sign of lack of faith? No, that's a sign of true faith. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve our gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Well, how could they say something like that to the very man who literally held the power of life and death in his hand in their situation? Because they saw the unseen. And when they saw the unseen, they were utterly certain of it. Then we see Nebuchadnezzar's astonished words in Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. I'd have loved to have been there and seen this. Cabinet members, counselors, vice president, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of God. Sometimes I think Nebuchadnezzar had more sense than we do. He didn't know 1/1,000th of what we do. The faith of these three young Hebrew men consisted of simply taking God at His word and living their lives accordingly. Things yet future, as far as their experience went, were present to their faith. Things yet unseen were visible to their eyes. So it will be through this entire list of Hebrews, chapter 11. Such faith sustains the believer no matter what his or her surroundings may be. Such faith endures because it's spiritually active. Faith character, faith activity. Then in verse 3, we see faith's understanding. Look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You need proof of creation ex nihilo, out of nothing? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 is a good place to teach that. You remember our first sermon in the letter to the Hebrews? I know you remember it. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I remember it. Roman numeral 1, ABC. I remember that sermon, preacher. You liar. We saw then our universe is of staggering size. The nearest star to our very average galaxy is the star Alpha Centauri, and it is 25 million miles away. Our glorious sun that fills our sky and lights our days is but a mere speck in our own galaxy. The huge star we nicknamed Betelgeuse. I don't know about you, when I was 12, 13, every teenager in the community could point to Betelgeuse on a good clean night. That star is 27 million times larger than our sun. All that in our galaxy is one of an estimated 100,000 million other galaxies. But most people in our day don't praise God. One commentator says that people today, I love this illustration, I think it was Ken Hughes that I stole this from. He said, we're like small mice who spent their entire life inside of a gigantic church piano. The music from that piano would enter their darkness, and it filled their dark lives with sound and harmony. They loved it. They were very impressed by it at first. They drew comfort from the thought that there was someone somewhere who made that music, though invisible to them. And they loved to think of that great player who was playing that wonderful music. Then one of the mice one day went on an adventure. He climbed to the upper part of the piano and he found the answer to the music. He came back and he told all the other mice, wires are the secret. So they must revise all their old beliefs. None but the most conservative mice could still believe in this unseen player. Wires deserved the credit. That mouse had a teenage son that grew up and went to Mouse University on the other side of the piano. And he one day grew up, went on exploration himself, and he said, no, all that was wrong. Hammers are the secret. I saw it. Hammers descended and struck the wires, so it's the hammers who deserve all the glory as they leap onto the wires and create sound. Well, true, this made things a little bit more complicated, but it proved that they were living in a purely mechanical and mathematical world. Eventually, the unseen player came to be thought of as nothing but a myth, though the pianist kept right on playing along. Isn't that a pretty good description of the world in which we live today? For the believers, those who know the pianist, it is so very clear and obvious where the sound is coming from. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. Folks, thank God for Stephen Hawking. I think he did a lot of good things and all this. I'm not knocking that. I have a large amount of respect for him living with Lou Gehrig's disease for over 40 years. And an intelligent guy. You know, we talked about the difference between intelligence and wisdom in Sunday school. He had all the intelligence in the world. One of the most intelligent men who lived in the 20th century. But when it came to biblical things, he was a fool. He was an utter idiot. Our faith has never been anchored in how Stephen Hawking thought the universe was originated. We know that God simply spoke and the universe was formed. It was the same way with you before conversion. God spoke and new life was created in your very soul. You didn't grit real hard and produce it yourself. That life is from God Himself. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And God did so ex nihilo, out of nothing. Nothing. And then 10 octillion stars, that's a 1 with 28 zeros behind it. 10 octillion stars were created by the very spoken word of God. Church, may we be the last ones to buy into this world's despair. Oh my goodness, I'm a brother, a preacher, I've gotten a few calls on this one. Did I think the war in Ukraine is going to be Armageddon and all this? I don't know and I don't care. Well, what if Russia sends off some nuclear weapons? You know, they've got a few that have the capability to reach parts of America, at least the coast. So what if they did? If they do fire one off, I hope it lands in the center of my forehead. Amen. I'm all for world peace, but I don't want to live here forever. Folks, what we need is a rebirth, or perhaps a birth, in the church, this church and every other church, of Hebrews 11 faith. We need the kind of faith that's animated by a future certainty that is so sure it's as though it is happening right now. And we need a visual certainty that gives us a deep-seated conviction, utter certainty of these things. We need utter certainty, full belief in what we say we believe. And faith like this is going to produce biblical activity like that found in those who line the halls of Hebrews chapter 11. Good Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to be focusing on Abel. And we're going to be looking at Abel's faith. And we're going to be looking at many more. And I'm going to illustrate these truths, hopefully prayerfully, through their lives. This visual faith, this visual certainty, this future certainty that every one of them possessed. And such faith will be finished off by a dynamic understanding that God is the one who created all of this. That God is the one who did it all. What will be the benefit of all this? Number one, in the context of Hebrews, it will help us persevere through the toughest of times. But also something else. The ability by God's grace to take the hand of those despairing and lead them to certainty and love and life and understanding and action, we know is found only in Christ. And it will help us point them to Jesus Christ. Child of God, are you really living by faith? Oh yeah. Are we really living by faith at Laurel Creek Baptist Church. You might want to pray there in your chair this morning. You might want to come forward for prayer this morning, whatever the case may be. And just ask the Lord, Lord, I need a heaping, helping double dose of the faith that only you give. The faith that only you provide. My friend, do you know this mighty God we serve? You obviously don't have this faith. But do you know the God we serve? If not, our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would grant you the new birth, that He would bring you into the kingdom this morning, and that He would bring you to the point of believing that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. That He's the living Son of God, 100% man, 100% God, who came to this earth, and He came to this earth for one overriding reason, and that was to give His life a sacrifice for every single child of God who would ever live. He died. Graveyard dead. Was placed in the tomb, and on the third day He rose from that tomb so we could live forever. Everybody here today is going to live forever. And you'll live forever either in heaven and fellowship with God throughout all eternity, or you'll live in hell forever experiencing His wrath for all eternity. You've got to believe that new birth. That belief leads us to repentance. Not just a one-time repentance, but it leads us to repentance every single day of our lives on this earth. And it leads us, it grows us in faith as we study His Word, as we pray, as we fellowship with other believers. It grows us in faith. And it helps us to trust in Christ alone to save us from our sins. Brother Roy, I've been baptized 8 times. Well, that's wonderful. Has Jesus Christ ever changed your heart? Brother Roy, I'm a member of 6 churches. Well, has Jesus Christ ever changed your heart? He can and He will if you'll flee to Him by faith today. Let us stand and let us pray. Lord, I think I can pray for every single Christian here this morning. Grow us in faith. Grow us in faith at Laurel Creek Baptist Church. Grow us in faith that can move mountains. And Lord, may that faith produce activity. May that faith produce an individual who works in your kingdom. But may we never have the arrogance to think that that work somehow gains us salvation. May you help us always remember it's salvation that produces the work. Lord, I pray for the one here this morning who isn't a Christian. I pray, God, that you would bring her, that you would bring him to saving faith even today. And Lord, in the midst of a world, in the midst of a country that is disintegrating even as we speak, grow us in Hebrews 11 faith. And we will thank you and we will praise you for it. Amen and amen.